Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I have to say, I love doing this program because I have to speak to myself, first of all. I remind myself of so much of what God has taught me and shown me. At the same time, I know how much I still need to learn. And so in speaking to you, as Scripture tells us, I better be preaching to myself lest I become the castaway. So you're blessing me by letting me speak to you because it reminds me of all that God wants from me. So when I ask you to do this or do that, I'm asking myself the same thing. And I'm trying to do what God is asking of me. Let's take a look at the first reading for today, Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and then 6 to 12. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God for the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. He tells them, he's praying for them, night and day. I pray for you too. I'm probably not as good as St. Paul is, but I pray for you. I ask God to bless you. For this reason, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. That's sacrament of confirmation. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Where does our strength come from? Not ourselves. Don't look in yourself for the strength to follow him, to say yes to Jesus and no to sin. Don't look for the strength within you. Ask God, Lord, give me your strength. Lend me your strength. You live within me. Help me. He will. For this reason, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. I repeat that because I want you to take it, as I so often say, from the head to the heart. The head can have the information, but when it goes to the heart, it changes you. And you reprioritize and you make decisions. It's an expression of love. Paul goes on to say, he saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed preacher, an apostle and teacher. On this account, I am suffering these things, but I am not ashamed. What I learn from the Lord, I teach, and I am not ashamed, for I know him in whom I have believed, and I am confident that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day, until I see him. He has a confidence in God. He's suffering for the sake of the gospel he's been given and called to preach. But he's doing it. What about us in our own circumstances? Our circumstances are different than Paul's. But what about our circumstances? And you say, well, you know, maybe I could talk to this person in the workplace. Well, then do. I don't mean collar them and say, I'm going to preach the gospel to you and you better repent. That's not it at all. Just share your faith as circumstances cause them. Circumstances can trigger in your mind the things that, oh, yeah, that's what God taught me. Then share that. Or this is what I have found helpful. Share the wisdom of God that you've learned. The more you read his word, the more those gifts within you begin to bear fruit. You can share more than you think you share. Or sometimes people ask you a question, you say, you know what? I have no idea what the answer is. Let's figure that out together. That's fine. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a saint in order to share the gospel. You have to be a sinner on the way to deeper conversion. God takes it from there, but that we're constantly seeking to grow in love for him. And he can use us right in the middle of that process if we're genuinely and sincerely seeking him, genuinely and sincerely repenting of our sins. He will use you. Psalm 123 says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my eyes. You know, where are our eyes focused? Sometimes they're very focused on ourselves, which isn't helpful. And we turn inwards. It's good to do a self-examination. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about the introspection that it's, as somebody once said, the unholy trinity is what I worship, me, myself, and I. When everything is referred to you, then you've got a problem of selfishness. And you just ask God, Lord, let me get my eyes on you, not on myself. Ask him for the grace. Keep asking him for it, and he will give it to you. Psalm 123, to you, O Lord, I lift up my eyes. I want to turn to the Lord. I don't want to be looking at myself. I want to be looking at him so that in turn he can use me. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 18 to 27, some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus and put this question to him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers, so they keep trying to trick him, to trip him. So now they're on this issue. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died, leaving no descendants. So the second brother married her and died, leaving no descendants. And the third, likewise. And the seven left no descendants. They're concocting quite a scenario here. Last of all, the woman also died. At the resurrection, when they arise, whose wife will she be? For all seven have been married to her. See, they get caught up in this, not that you couldn't ask that question, but for the Sadducees, they were just so caught up in the letter of the law, and they weren't looking at God's heart. They weren't looking at God's will, at God's plan. They were focused on me, myself, and I, my position, my privilege. So explain this to us, Jesus. They're trying to cut him down. They're trying to find a way that they can trip him. But look what happens. Jesus said to them, are you not misled? Because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. You do not know the scriptures or the power of God. When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. As for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God told him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not God of the dead, but of the living. You are greatly misled. Did they heed that? No. No, they didn't. They were bound to the law. The law was their goal. Obedience to the law was their end. what ought to be the goal is union with God. And the law, the commandments, are the means to that. But that's not where the focus is. The focus is on what awaits you. And you see, so often, brothers and sisters, we lose sight of that. All we can see is what's right in front of us. And yet God is using every opportunity that goes on in life. He's using every opportunity to draw us to himself, to reveal himself to us. You know, there were many years I prayed that you can feel like you're addressing a brick wall. There's nothing that you can envision or nothing that you can hear that would say there's somebody listening to you. It's silence. And there were days when I would say to the Lord, are you there? Are you really there? And there'd be still silence. And then I'd have to go back to the scriptures and say, I'm asking God to prove himself. What I ought to be doing is drawing near to him and thanking him for what he has already done for me, and then bring him my needs. And if I do that, my relationship with him grows. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not audible. It's, he doesn't come down with a scroll and open it for you to see. But it isn't your imagination either. And you will know it by the fruit. As your life changes, you will know that you're engaging the living God. But he has given us everything, including himself, totally. And now he waits for us to come to bow down before him to say, teach me, Lord. Your servant is listening. Your daughter is listening. Your son is listening. Your disciple is listening. Come and show me the way. Because, brothers and sisters, what happens to so many people is they don't have enough faith to believe. And they don't, if you ask for it, it'll be given to you. But they don't have enough faith, so they fall back, like the Sadducees did here, on obedience to the law so that God would have to bless me. I am obedient to every detail of the law. We've made the law our God. We want God to be our God. And the law, the commandments, are the means. They're not the end. They're the means to entering into a personal, deep relationship. And I do mean that, personal and deep relationship with God in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love him. He has been very good to me. Have I gone through difficulties? Yes. But even in my difficulties, he has been good to me because he teaches me what I need to learn. He teaches me what I need to turn away from and what I need to turn toward. I come to him with everything, my mistakes, my faults, my sins, my successes in quotation marks, whatever they are. I come to him with the joys that I experience, but I bring him everything. And he draws me closer and closer to himself. And as he does, you see more clearly where your sins are. You see more clearly his blessings, and we're drawn closer and closer to him. We're not destroyed by our sins. We're given hope. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.